Greetings, Grandad here, and here to bring you a few things before we kickstart the show today. Firstly, a listener's message to say that the jokes and impressions in this show are simply for the purpose of entertainment and not meant to cause any offense. It would be great if you could take a moment to rate us on Apple Podcast and drop us a review if you are enjoying the show. Find us on our Facebook page, Better Show, and there you will find more spooky tales, both fiction and non-fiction. And lastly, don your tinfoil hats, crack your heads back as far as they will go, and look to the stars, because tonight is going to be a better show.
Imagine that it is nighttime. You are all alone on an overlook that spans hundreds of miles. There, you can not only see the land, but also gain a full appreciation of the universe above you. The stars, they shine bright tonight, almost too bright. You are alone, and yet, you can never be alone ever again. The stars, they seem to be fading, and your vision with them. And with that, you remember exactly where you are.
Hiya, it is Grandad, back with episode 20 of Better Show, and this is the second part of our Valentine's Day special, and I'm once again joined by Oni. Thank you very much for joining us back on the podcast.
Hello.
So, if I didn't say in part one, we are going to be covering something a little bit more in depth, I guess, with the whole theme of Valentine's Day, and once again a message to all those who may not be spending Valentine's Day with someone really special. Fuck it, you probably have more money than the other people do, so, you know, grab yourself some Maltesers, or maybe some ninja stars, and just fucking hurl them at people walking past when they look all happy and shit, because it's, you know, that doesn't last very long at all.
No, you have to wait for the next day where you get 50% off the Valentine's Day chocolate.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's the single person pride, just going in afterwards going, look at that, half price, yes please.
Okay, so we're going to be looking into bizarre and curious fetishes. Once again, on Better Show, we try not to shame people who are into certain things, of course, so long as it doesn't break the law in some shape or form. So we're going to be trying to have an open mind and just going through some that people label as being a bit out there. So I'm going to go through some that are a bit tame. I've got my wrong notes up. Let's find the right notes. There we go. So, the first one that I've got is the foot fetish. On this list that I found, feet were the most common of sexual fetishes. In extreme cases, there is a trend that exists called foot hooking, where a client would pay up to £200 or possibly more to get into a private foot spa, where they would then lick, awe, and worship ladies' feet.
Oh my.
Me, personally, I'm not into that. Feet, yeah, no thank you. There's a reason why we wear shoes.
I've met a few men and dated a few men that are like very into feet. So yeah, sometimes it goes a bit like to the like sides, so like they'll enjoy certain kinds of socks, or right, they'll enjoy tights or fishnets,
yeah,
and even shoes.
Okay.
So,
cool.
And the weirdest that I know about is someone who specifically worked in like a nail spa to do pedicures.
Right.
So he could literally just work with feet all day, like painting ladies' toenails and all of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. So the next one I have is machines. Some folk are aroused by machines. Some of these include vehicles like bikes and helicopters. A man in America claims to have been in love with his car and had sex with it many, many times. Here in the United Kingdom, having sex with machinery is considered a crime, and if caught, one would find themselves on the sex offenders registry.
When you said machines to me, my brain was like, what about dildos?
See, that's the thing, because the blog that I found, it showed like a giant kind of industrial drill, like something you would use to tunnel through to China. So I thought it was just going to be like inanimate objects that are machine-based, you know, like blenders or something like that. But no, it seems to be more kind of vehicle-based.
Well, when you were saying, like, machines to me, and my brain was going, well, I've seen, like, plenty of porn videos where it's, like, a dildo, and it's, like, ridiculously scary looking. And I watch it, I'm like, no, why?
Are we talking, like, American Horror Story kind of dildo?
No, like, there's a lot of it. It seems to be quite common.
Okay.
Where it's, like, more towards, like, the bondage side of things, like, where people are tied up, and then they're, like, fucked by a machine, essentially. Not a person, but by a machine.
Oh, okay.
So it's not even a person with a dildo in them. Turning a machine on.
Okay, no, I have
back and forth.
I have seen that. Sorry, I thought you meant like they would just go and get like a drill bit or something. Like, I can't imagine the kind of thought process of someone being like, right, I got this young lady all tied up, feeling pretty ready to go, but wait a minute, I've got my toolkit. What do we got in here? We got a spanner, we got a screwdriver, and we got a mallet. Let's see how we can make this even more sexy.
No.
So the next one that I've got on my list is furries, which I think most people are familiar with. So, though at least the more public communities of furry, strictly speaking, is just a costume and impersonation of animal group, there are those out there that would enjoy taking both of these costumes and animalistic tendencies to the bedroom.
See, I looked a bit further into that.
Okay.
See, the bedroom part, mm-hmm. and two furries having sex is called yiffing.
Is that like the noise that they make?
I have no idea. I didn't really want to go further into it until it said about zoophilia.
Zoophilia?
Which is fully just having sex with animals.
Oh, okay. But it's not like... is it multiple animals, hence the zoo thing, or is it just that you're open to having sex with different animals?
Literally any animal.
Oh, okay. It raises to mind... Yeah. It raises to mind a story that I came across, I think it was on Facebook, of a young girl years and years ago, and she said that, well, she put out a comment saying, I was playing with my little turtle and stroking him, and he got a hard-on, and I started to play with him, and like, there, and he really enjoyed it. I wanted to give the turtle oral sex, but I was scared that he would die. And I think I told this story on the podcast. The thing I said was, well, you know, just don't sneeze into the turtle so it doesn't explode, but...
Oh, God, no. See, I just hear about, like... I remember that apparently there was, like, a long time ago, or even recently, there was, like, a girl that made, like, YouTube videos and telling you what breed of dogs licked you out better.
Oh, okay. What? Okay.
Yeah, she was like apparently like, oh, Jack Russell does this and like a Doberman does that, and I'm like, no, dogs should go outside and do dog stuff.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna make
like other stuff.
I'm gonna make this my personal mission. Assuming that Better Show survives a year from now, next Valentine's Day, I'm gonna find that YouTube channel and play some of those clips out on the show. See if I can find.
No.
I think it's important information that the masses must know. She's clearly not getting enough exposure, and it's Better Show's duty to, you know, help spread the word. So.
Or you could get a girlfriend.
Yeah, true. So, there's the next one I've got on my list is grown-up babies. 15,000 Americans belong to a club where individuals take on the personalities and other traits of babies and perform acts like cuddling all the way to breastfeeding.
He needs some milk.
And we have none in the fridge. Again, each to their own. It's not hurting anyone. I guess it borders on I was about to say necrophilia, not quite. I guess it boards on I guess it borders on incest quite a few times, with the kind of mother and son thing.
See, I always like, I know about like daddy and little girl thing.
Yeah.
Like a lot of men like to do that one. They're like, "Oh, I want you to be my little girl," and you're like, "I'm good, thank you very much." But there's a lot of girls out there that like to call their partner daddy.
Yeah, I
I don't
haven't
know if it goes as far as wearing like nappies,
yeah, I
but
haven't come
like,
across them
yeah.
personally, but I know that some of my friends have, and it's always quite funny to hear how they've had that subject broached to them and how very not into it my friends usually are. So the next one I've got on my list is the love of teddy bears. The people who are sexually aroused to teddy bears are known as, and I'm going to spell it out because I can't be bothered to try and pronounce it, URUSAGALMATOPHILIACS. So it's a something amorphous, whatever. And say that there is just something about them that turns them on. Yeah.
Teddy bears are for snuggling at night time, not for snuggling at night time.
God damn it, people. And the next one that I've got is amputees. So clearly feeling sympathy for those who have lost limbs is common enough, but there are those out there who feel a physical and indeed sexual attraction to those who have lost limbs.
I have unfortunately, well, not unfortunately, I don't judge anyone
No.
because I'm quite strange myself. But like, I have witnessed porn where they were both amputees and one was sticking their like, I'm gonna call it like a nubbin, I'm not quite sure what to call it. It was like where their knee was.
Yeah.
Obviously they'd lost the rest of their leg and they were putting that inside the other person.
Huh. Okay.
And then obviously there's an even more extreme version that I've heard many people talk about. And I'm pretty sure I've made a joke about it as well. But it's called nugget porn.
Yes. Well, yes, I know you and I have definitely
We've
had a few
joked about
chuckles
this, obviously,
towards
like
that.
a quadruple amputee.
Yeah. I suppose it would be inappropriate to find the amputee porn that you're speaking of, the one where the guy puts the like knee portion of the rest of his leg inside the lady and to then edit the song "These Boots Are Made for Walking" over it.
Oh my God, no.
Ah, that's a shame. So the next one I've got
Awful image in my head.
On my list is bugs, and fair to say that anyone who's into this would probably also enjoy that moment in the Brandon Fraser Mummy film when that guy gets all the weird stag beetles under his skin. Because not yet illegal, but definitely less common, the being covered in insects fetish. They enjoy the feeling of insects crawling on them and the occasional bites and nibbles that they occasionally receive, they consider an additional bonus. Yeah.
See, I know that's called, is it formicophilia?
I don't actually have the
It must
name
be,
here,
right?
but sure.
Yeah, like I just know it's called formicophilia. Like,
Huh.
I've never, I don't know. Like, but how does that work with like spiders? Because some spiders are technically insects and some are not.
I thought all spiders were technically arachnids and not in the kind of insect
I
category.
didn't know. Like, I thought it was like based on how many legs there were.
I thought all spiders had eight. Don't be telling me there are spiders out there with two legs, because I'm going to be checking everyone as they walk past me on the streets. Like, are you secretly a spider person?
Just running towards you with like these little floppy like flesh fangs.
Yeah, no, thank you. I prefer spiders at their normal size. Although, even saying that, I think my worst experience that I've had with a spider so far was I was at my dad's house and he lives out in the country. And I was about to have a shower. I picked out the bath mat and I gave it like a shake. And as I did, this spider that was massive, about the same size as my hand, brushed against my hand. And then as I kind of flicked out the bath mat, I sent it somersaulting and then it kind of thumped against the door. And fair to say, I was like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm just not going to have a shower. And the same kind of thing happened. Slightly smaller spider, but I was just sitting on the loo before I went in to have my shower. And I looked down by the side of the loo and there was that spider just kind of chilling on the ground.
Next Sunday.
And that was again a moment where I was like, you know what? I really don't need a shower. I thought I did, but my mind's been changed. Don't think I did.
See, now the people that are interested in bugs would then want to take the spider in the shower and have a fun time.
Yeah, exactly. Problem is though that they forget that the spider would probably die.
Yeah.
Sad face.
It's a bit sad.
Yeah, it is a bit. Well, let's bring the mood back with the next fetish on my list, which is sleeping. There are those who enjoy being screwed while they sleep, not just from natural sleep, but also from deliberately putting themselves under from excess drink or sleeping tablets. I've encountered this one more so with me asking the other person whether they'd be into it. It's usually just the standard sleep thing. Like, you know, you wake up in the morning, you're like, you know what, I'm in the mood. And you kind of like broach the subject to the other person by pretty much starting a sexual interaction.
I call that something. I call it alarm cocking.
I'm very glad that you call it that and not something that rhymes with grape. I'd like to think that it would be slightly more acceptable, especially if you broach the idea with the partner beforehand. And also because you're in a relationship as opposed to just breaking into someone's house, waiting for them to be asleep and then waking them up by performing sex on them. Because that's not okay.
Yeah, no. I think with that one, it's a trust thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, if you trust someone, you'll be like, do you know what, in the morning, if I'm not up, go for it.
If I'm not up and you are, pun intended, go for it.
Okay.
So, the next one I've got on my list is tight spaces. So, a minor existence within the world of fetishes, but still there, an interest in having sex in confined spaces, and is known as being or experiencing pleasure towards tight spaces, and that is known as claustrophilia. So it's just claustrophobia, but with philia on the end.
Oh yeah, because instead of being scared of it, you're like, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh. I've seen versions of this.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like 7 Minutes of Heaven, the game that you first introduced to, like when you're young, is like a entering door to that way in life.
Yeah.
But like other versions, is like you'll see them. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's like a full gimp suit, but it's like attached to a mattress.
And oh, okay.
The person is suctioned, so the air is suctioned out.
Yeah.
And there's just a hole for them to breathe.
Yeah.
And then they are essentially a mattress and then just used. But they can't move. I would be really boring in that situation and go to bed.
That'd be really... I think that'd be a conversation with my mum especially, where it'd just be like, right, you're moving out forever. We'd be like, mum, please, please don't change the mattress because there is a person in there. And the last one that I have on my list is criminal interest. So it's another one that I can't pronounce, but I'm going to actually give it a bit of a try. So hybristophilia, also known as Bonnie and Clyde's syndromatics, known as sexual interest in convicts. It is commonly known within true crime world that many murderers and rapists have received fan mail, mainly from women. The Night Stalker is a good example of that, and of course I'm referring to Richie Ramirez.
Oh, no.
I personally don't understand it.
You do see a lot of...
Yeah, I've got a couple of people that I speak to, and I hopefully have them on the show at some point. And at least one out of the two of them really has a thing for Richie Ramirez.
God, no judgment, but why? My God, but no, that you do often see, like in the police system, like you often see a lot of women that will try and marry someone on death row.
Yeah, I personally don't see the interest in people who have committed crimes. I don't know if it's the same kind of mentality as those who are into, I guess, fictional.
Bad boys.
But also fictional characters within, I guess, fictional villains and things like that.
Yeah, not sure.
So that is pretty much my list on the more tame ones. We'll swoop back round to what you found out in a moment, but first thing that I wanted to cover is a blog that I found, and it's not so much, well, it's definitely a fetish, but it's a bit more common within the world of fetishes. So I'll just read out the whole thing if you're happy for me to.
Go for it.
Cool.
I love it when you talk dirty to me.
So this week's guest blogger is Catherine England. She writes erotica, which is available on Amazon. It does also have a link here for me, so I probably might check that out at some point, because why the fuck not? And she's here to talk to you about something. So I'm gonna just start it all right away with what she has to say. I have a cum fetish. Here's what that means. Come something, come, well, wait, what, bleh, bleh. Let me try again. come some, I love it, some hate it. I, for one, love the gooey mess that only thick loads of jizz can provide. The streams of warm, white fluid being directed at me convey a powerful message, one that tells me that I have done a thorough job providing an extreme degree of pleasure. I love to get it almost anywhere on my body, be it my face, tits, or ass. I love to see the angsty, I can't fucking read today, of my partner as he releases his heavy load with complete delight. Experience during adolescence might go a long way in explaining why cum play leads me to such a state of heightened arousal. I remember having a spit or swallow discussion with my friend back in high school, and the most common answer was spit. Doing anything else was considered taboo and degrading at the time. But neither spitting nor swallowing was my preferred method of dealing with a guy's final. I wanted to play with it and let it slowly drip down my body. I really hope no one takes this out as an audio clip, just like me saying these things, and then plays it back to me at inappropriate moments in my life. I have thought many.
I'm now going to do that to you.
That'd be great. Like, one of my friends turns up and be like, "Look, granddad's mum. I've got granddad's confession." I have thought many times about the numerous times I have let men come on me. Some of my partners, despite delivering excellent sexual performances, could not deliver memorable amounts of ejaculate. Others, however, provide me with volumes of amounts of jizz. A few were like fire hoses being directed at my body. My most exciting
Jesus Christ.
experience being on the receiving end of a cum shot happened when I was in my mid-20s. The stud who delivered the goods, I love that, who delivered the goods, was in his late 30s. We had been dating for a few weeks, and I knew he had a natural ability for producing large amounts of semen. How does she know that? If it was like one of the first times that they, or the first time that she'd had sex with him, what? Did they just meet up in Costa or whatever and he sat her down and be like, I could see you're enjoying that cream. By the way, I can produce 10 mockers worth of cream.
No, what she does is clearly, she holds the balls and gets a good feel for it. She's like, yes, no, the quantity here is quite good. They're quite weighty.
But do you mind, dear, touching my nuts? We are, in fact, in the entertainer and kids are watching. And I knew
Oh,
that.
Christ.
She comments, what a waste. I thought for him to continue dispensing all that warm, creamy goodness inside a condom. One night I told him I wanted his load all over my face. He was eager to provide me with what I'd asked for. After giving him a long blowjob, he pulled his cock out of my mouth and began to stroke it vigorously. I tilted my head back and waited for him to unleash what I'd built up with my oral skills. I reflectively closed my eyes as I felt the first ropes of cum land on my forehead. Although I couldn't open my eyes and see what had landed, I could feel it dripping everywhere. He squeezed out every drop that remained, shaking his cock so that it made its way down my face. Once he was finished, I opened my eyes and looked at him. Now, this is the bit that again, not to shame, but I think it's definitely a bit different. I opened my eyes and looked at him. I told him to go to the bathroom to bring back a handheld mirror. I wanted to see what I looked like drenched in his goo. Holding the mirror a few inches away from my face, I stared at myself in amazement and inspected the mess that we had made. And I say we because I take a lot of credit for pleasuring my man in such a way that he erupts in an uncontrollable volcano. Making a man come makes me feel powerful, like I hold the power in my hand and later all over me. When I see the last drops of cum dangling from a hard cock, I know that I've used my skills in sex, my skill in sex appeal, to its maximum effect. Spitting or swallowing is just not for me. I would rather indulge myself in being covered in cream that I'd helped produce. Let the fruits of my labor drizzle down my chin and celebrate the erotic pleasure that has taken place. Do you know that there's only a few times on Better Show where I'm left feeling particularly speechless, but I think after reading that for the second time this week, though I'm fairly, yeah. Again, each to their own, but I was hoping that we could go into some of the research that you were able to dig up as well.
So, my research is mainly from past sexual experiences.
Okay.
I have two count. But and some of my own, which aren't quite as frequent as I'd like to think they are. But so one I came across recently was eproctophilia.
Right, okay.
And this is someone who derives sexual pleasure from flatulence. Now, the person I know thoroughly enjoys having someone record and send their farts to them, farting on them, and or sitting on their face and farting.
Okay, that's a good way to get pink eye, though, right?
And even yes, but like he also enjoys like burping and things like that.
Okay, fair enough. Man, he must
Yeah,
have loved Jabba the
it's in
Hutt.
America.
Okay.
Yeah, and then obviously like. So, vorophilia, which essentially is like the sexual pleasure of eating a person whole. Now, often with like vorophilia, you'll see like the person explaining that they want to literally be not just like consumed orally, but like in any hole of
Right.
another person
Okay.
entirely.
Right.
And then for me, it's audio.
Okay, yeah.
I love hearing a man or a woman make noise. I don't care what kind of noise. I just like the noise. If I know I'm doing good, they're making noise. It makes me feel good.
So one I came across, God, I've got to stop saying that because it's pun intended. So one that I happened across from another podcast was apparently a Canadian fetish that's kicked up where a man will, it's usually a solo thing, but where he'll get himself to the point of climax and then he'll actually use his foreskin to block the hole so he can't come, and then the cum like ricochets back into him.
Sounds painful.
Yeah, I thought it sounded painful. I'm like full disclosure to anyone, I don't really care. I haven't been able to have the courage to try it, because I don't want to die, but and I also don't want to have to explain that to someone at a hospital. But yeah, I was just wondering if you'd happened across that particular one as well.
No, can't say I have. I can't say I've come across someone going, I like to poke. I force him back in when it comes, like, can't leave.
Yeah,
Like, I know, like, chastity belts for men, where there's, like, a point of it that goes inside of a man's penis. Yeah. And I have come across a video where a woman fully fucked a man's penis with
No.
a tube
No.
tie.
No. No.
Oh.
But okay.
Why not?
Because that sounds awful. Because that sounds really, really bad. I'm sorry. Like, again, we don't kink shame. I'm not saying don't do it. If your partner's fully consenting, you can shove fucking Legos inside his japside for all I give a shit. But for me personally, no.
Oh.
You're not putting anything inside my penis hole. No. So, Jesus Christ.
Only don't put anything in Granddad's penis hole.
I'm taking a stand. So, Jesus Christ.
I mean, personally, it doesn't matter like what kink it is. I'm all good as long as people are safe.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, so long as people are safe and happy and everyone has like a safe word in place just in case it's something they're trying for the first time and they decide halfway through they're not into it, that's all fine. Just as long as you have those things in place, then you're all good. Yeah. I think the fetishes...
With every normal kink that you've like know about, like so everything that you think, oh, that's pretty freaking normal, there's always like an extreme version of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think...
So, like, I know tons of people that like tattoos and piercings.
Mm.
But then I personally have watched these videos as well, more for fascination.
Yeah.
But you'll watch someone get sexually aroused by them being pierced on their genitalia multiple times in one go. And I'm like, I know how much piercings hurt. I've got 9.
Mm.
And still I'm sitting there thinking, no, dude, it's a bit much. But like, oh, you'll see like proper, like you'll see, oh yeah, oh like people dressing up as a doctor, and then all of a sudden you're on a surgical table with like a clamp, and, like everything ready surgically wise. You're like, hold up, back up a minute. I said I like doctors, not procedure.
Jesus. So, yeah, along the same kind of lines of the ones that have, I guess, a more kind of intense version.
Mm.
One that I haven't been able to come to terms with, and I feel like it's one that almost can't have a safe word or anything like that in place, otherwise the experience itself is tainted, is the house owner and robber fetish, and just in generally sexual assault fetish. Either of those I feel like are really dangerous, and I mean, either of them. I know someone, and they're probably going to hate me for saying this, but of course I won't reveal who it is, but I do know someone who was actually planning on doing the kind of like house owner and robber fetish. And
I mean
good luck to them. Yeah, absolutely. Jesus.
I like the idea of someone kidnapping me and chucking me in the back of a van, having their way with me.
Yeah. But then
that
you
could be quite dangerous, but then in my brain I'm going, but I pre-planned it, so
yeah.
I don't know what's going on, I just don't know when.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. For me,
yeah, they go along the same lines.
Yeah, for me personally, I kind of like to know where things are. I don't know if that makes me boring, but that's fair enough.
This is my penis hole. Nothing goes in it.
Yeah. I want to make that as a thing, and if we ever do a line of shirts as part of Better Show, that will be one of the first ones.
Nothing goes in my job. Nothing.
I think the extra nothing will be on the back of the shirt, just to really emphasise the point.
Yeah, just like huge capital letters, nothing. Loads of exclamation marks.
Yeah. Yeah, so let's wrap up this episode of Better Show. We've gone through a couple of kinks. Do you have any more that you wanted to throw out there?
No, not particularly. I'm still getting over the fact that people like to bugger teddy bears.
Yeah.
I used to work at Build-A-Bear. I don't know how many people I stuffed a bear for and they got aroused while I was doing it.
So you didn't have anyone come up to you and be like, okay, so I see you're installing the heart into the teddy bear. Any chance you could install, I don't know, a vagina?
I do remember another one.
Oh, okay.
Crap, I completely forgot. It just dawned on me now that we're talking about teddy bears.
Yeah.
Sex dolls.
Yes. Okay. I'm gonna reveal something out to Better Show community. I may regret this so hard, but I'm gonna do it anyway because, you know, I'm a bit of a schmuck. I own a love pillow. Maybe.
Aww, that's cute.
So I bought... And this may sound like I'm trying to cover my tracks, but I'm generally telling the truth. So I bought it out of the purpose of curiosity, because I didn't really know the appeal. I had a bit of money behind me at the time, and I thought, you know what? I'm just going to give it a go. Problem was, when I purchased it, you can't actually, at least through Amazon, which may not have been the best place to purchase it through, seeing as my suggested purchases now are just so wacky, But you can't purchase the pillow as well as the pillowcase at the same time. You have to purchase them separately. Unfortunately for me, the pillow arrived before the pillowcase. And I was like, not because I thought it was an actual person, but I was like, you know what, if I'm really going to go all the way with this thing, I want to, you know, have it just kind of around, just so I'm okay with that. And I had it, because I've got a double bed, I had it on one half of the bed, and one night I rolled over, like, half asleep, and I kind of landed on it and I shit myself because I thought, wait, this is a fucking body. Because it feels like a body. It's got like the contours in all the right places and it's got like padding or extra stuffing where there should be extra stuffing, if that makes any sense. And it was fucking terrifying. I'm glad to report that the cover did eventually arrive and I don't have to say anymore. But yeah.
No, say more.
No. More. Nah.
I know what you did with it.
I did nothing. Dirty. So the last story isn't really a fetish thing. It's something that I kind of wanted to cover in the first episode, but then I realised the individual that I had on was a bit innocent in the ways of dark stuff. I don't think she realised that this was a dark podcast until I started to talk about murder. So I will talk about this story now. So Metro reported, and I saved this post a while ago, that a stripper had sex with her boyfriend's disabled Star Wars obsessed son and then decapitated him.
Jesus.
Stripper.
Not there. The entire thing.
A stripper has been convicted of beheading her boyfriend's disabled Star Wars obsessed son after having sex with him. So I'm going to try and pronounce the name. It's Rowena Sherilee Mills, 43, was last Thursday found guilty of first-degree murder of a 29-year-old Beau White at the house in, I can't fucking pronounce any of these weird places, but it's West Virginia, in April 2008. Mills, who has the phrase "special kind of crazy" tattooed across her chest, reportedly targeted Beau after having sex with him in return for drugs. There's not much more to the story. It just kind of revisits the drug front, which of course was the kind of reason why there was an sexual exchange at all. If I could place, I'm looking at the convicted at the moment, and I can place her to the depiction of the main lead in the film Monster, if anyone's seen it. She looks very similar to her. It's just a generally fucked up tale. Yeah.
I like how the news reading were specifically putting out that the kid who had a disability was Star Wars obsessed.
Yeah, I don't know why that was, like, they had to keep on revisiting that fact. I don't think it mattered that much. But she is said to have battered and stabbed him to death before chopping his body up. Yeah. It's pretty...
That's a lot of effort.
Yeah. I guess... Perhaps she didn't want any kind of evidence that she'd had sex with him. I don't know whether it was like a reaction to that or what. I don't know. But I've got a
description. I wasn't there personally, so like.
No. But I've got a description of Beau, I think. So Beau was described by George Silter as being an awkward, sickly, shut in, who didn't have a real life, lived off disability allowance, and loved playing with Star Wars figures.
So, I nearly said, so that's basically you, but you have a job.
Wow, thanks. My friends are also going to take that sound clip of you just like slating me. Thanks for that. So,
you're very welcome.
But yeah, all in all, not a particularly pleasant human being to have done that to her, I guess, interest's son.
Also, I love how you basically said the last person you spoke to and was going to say this was innocent. So are you trying to say I'm not innocent?
No, I'm trying to say that she literally has had no exposure to any kind of dark or sexual tales whatsoever. I know. Maybe having her on better show, you know, perhaps I should have warned her beforehand. But there you go.
Yeah, I think you should have, like, you know, preempted, like, pre-warning, by the way, boo. This shit gets real.
Well, thank you very much, Oni, for... Thank you very much, Oni, for once again joining us on Better Show. It's been an absolute pleasure.
You're very welcome.
And for all those, once again, spending Valentine's Day alone, it is okay, because one Valentine's Day, and I think I've told this story before, in fact, I think I told it on part one, I once spent Valentine's Day with my dad watching Twilight. So there is nothing wrong with spending Valentine's Day by yourself. Maybe don't do that. Yeah, just put on a good film, or just treat it like any other day.
Half-price chocolate.
Yeah, exactly. Half-price chocolate, and you might be the happiest person walking down the street, because a lot of other people have had disappointing surprise fetish sex.
Put that teddy bear back from where you fucking found it, you weirdo.
But from all of us here at Better Show, we hope you have a very good day, night, evening, life and death. And we hope to see you guys next week, where we will be resuming to our normal show layout. No more of this talk of love, romance and erotica, although we may still revisit the erotica side. But we hope to see you guys next week. Thank you very much for joining us, and we'll see you then.